honestly, you can completely capture.
This episode is supported by the Travel Gear and Adventure Show, where I will be speaking this June 2026 in Salt Lake City, Utah, and by Osprey, my go-to luggage brand for everything since 2015. So stay tuned for more from them. And of course, we're supported by Jump Adventures and our own collection of epic adventure itineraries to Patagonia and beyond. Let us send you on your dream adventure. You can find out more and browse trips at jumpadventures.com.
The idea of a place through a guidebook or even a really good history book, like, I'll give that credit. But there's something so intoxicating about, like, meeting people abroad and, like, seeing their perspective.
Welcome to Jump Podcast. I'm your host, Traveling Jackie, and I'm here to explore travel, adventure, and lifestyle in ways meant to motivate you to move and experience the world outside your comfort zone and to do big, courageous things with your one life. Let this show be a source of advice and inspiration, and remember that in the end, it's you who takes the leap. Hi, friends. Welcome back. And thanks for being here wherever you are watching or listening from today. We have a bit of a different approach to today's episode. We're mixing it up a little bit. I'm here with my friend Walker Smith, who is 24 years old, and we played hockey together on the same team for a summer league a few years ago. And Walker at the time was getting ready to head out of the country to go be a bush pilot in Namibia for a year. Yeah. And so naturally we found plenty to talk about in the realm of travel and life and opportunity and things that we're both fascinated by. So that's how we became friends. Well, fast forward, Walker suffered a knee injury among many other things, which delayed his whole plan of going to Namibia. And as a result, he is still here. So the other day, Walker contacts me saying that he feels like he's at a crossroads and that he'd like to ask me for some advice around travel and lifestyle, knowing that I have created a lifestyle of travel. And I thought, rather than simply having this conversation behind closed doors like any respectable normal person, my little podcaster heart thought, oh my goodness, what if we could have this conversation out loud on the podcast in front of other people who may also find themselves in a similar place, maybe at a crossroads and maybe seeking advice from somebody like me. So that's why we're here. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and introduce you to my friend Walker. So Walker, thank you for agreeing to go along with my totally out of the box idea and have this conversation vulnerably and out loud with me. And welcome to my podcast.
Thanks for having me. It's kind of shocking to be here, to be honest, but
why?
I don't know. I guess it was just a quick turnaround. I never really thought I would be on a podcast in general, but
hey, it's just a podcast. It's just a microphone, right? Like it's something that I started in my room in 2014. So, you know, it's amazing where you can take it. But yeah, this is like the perfect opportunity to be on a podcast is when you have something that you want to talk about to share, you know, that's why we're here. So
yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
I know it's scary. A lot of people that actually come on my show have never been on a show before. And everybody does such a good job. So I have a good feeling about this. So don't worry. But yeah, why don't we start with, do you want to sort of catch us up on your background? Who are you? Where did you come from? What's been going on these past few years? Like what has led us to this moment?
Yeah, for me, I think the most important spot to start in would be 2011. I was 10 years old at this time. And I was in my last year of elementary school. My sister was in her last year of middle school. She's three years older than me. And our parents decided to sell our house and just travel the world for a year.
Wow.
Yeah. It was an incredibly transformative experience for sure. We spent the first 4 months all over Asia, Japan, China. My dad lived in China for a while in the 90s. So we visited some of his friends in Shanghai and then spent 2 weeks trekking across Nepal, then some time in Cambodia, Vietnam, and Thailand. And then we finished by living in New Zealand for 2 months. Mm. After that, we went to Africa for 4 months. And yeah, just all down the east coast of Africa, just like all over Kenya, Tanzania, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Botswana, the whole nine yards, really. But yeah, it was really an incredible experience. And like, I definitely had culture shock coming back to the United States as like an 11-year-old who had just spent basically an entire year of their life abroad, immersing themselves in different cultures. I think the craziest part was when we stayed in this fishing village between Somalia and Kenya. It's a small village called Matandoni. And my dad had worked there for several months in college, just like basically fishing. And so he knew the people there really well. And just to see what, like, this is probably one of the poorest places on the planet, and to see what they were willing to like scrape together to show their hospitality to, like, you know, some white travelers who could just afford to be there. That was really, I think, a very transformative experience for me. I think it really gave me a sense of value that I find very important, which is kind of just like a sense of community, I suppose, but more just like intrapersonal relationships. And I don't want to say hospitality, but yeah, in a sense, like building community through either gestures or acts like that kind of charity. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so from that like experience, I think I kind of always wanted to make my life like that, in a sense, like kind of chase that experience in like a more, not to sound not bleak, but like in a more financially gainful aspect of like, I could like do this and live.
Yeah. Right. And make a living from it.
Yes.
Recreate that sort of feeling for people, for yourself in hospitality, even in travel, and make a living from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, my earliest memory, I knew I always wanted to fly. Like, I've always wanted to be a pilot. And so that seemed like a perfect combination, because you can like, fly to all these different destinations and like, you know, get paid to travel. But it's not as glamorous. Like, now that I've, you know, dipped my toe in that pond, I can kind of see, like, I don't really want to live in a hotel room.
Why not?
I mean, you know, it's cool, but like, I don't want to.
It can be cool for a time.
Yeah, I don't want to live in like the Marriott Inn in Pocatello, Idaho, you know, like.
Yeah. Hey, that's clarity. Good job.
Yeah. So I came to college. I had a choice. I chose between two schools, really. I wanted to go to University of Maryland for their flight program and for their international affairs program, because I thought maybe I could fulfill this like traveling urge through like a job at the State Department or something like that.
Yeah, sure.
And then instead, I ended up going to Montana State University here in Bozeman. And I went through the flight program here, and I got a degree in history here as more of just like a feel, just getting a degree in something I enjoy, like a topic I enjoy, because flying was the real goal anyway.
Sure.
Yeah. And so like, I came to Bozeman and I definitely found a community that I loved, and COVID happened, you know, right middle of my freshman year of college. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, freshman year of college, I wasn't really sure if I want to stay in Bozeman. I wanted to travel. I wanted to go all these places. And then COVID happened, and it was like, no one's ever traveling ever again. You know, the world is shut down. Mm-hmm. And like, since then, like the past 5 years, I've really kind of structured my life towards a more kind of sedentary lifestyle. And mm-hmm. it's been really nice. Like, I've made, you know, lifelong friends, and I have a really stable home, and, you know, I have a dog now, and,
Oh no.
I got a COVID puppy. So like, I've had her for 5 years, but
yeah.
And like, it's been great, but like, especially the past like year and a half, 2 years, I've kind of questioned, like, I've kind of forgotten this side of myself that I originally wanted to do and be. And like, you know, I've been traveling personally more. Like, I've traveled a lot since that travel year, but it was all kind of just like, I don't know, like a family vacation somewhere or like a school trip. It was never really, I don't know, it didn't feel like I was really immersing myself very much. It kind of just more felt like it was leisure. And Yeah. And like, you know, I've hadn't really ever traveled alone before. And so last year, last February, I went to Scotland by myself to visit my friend who is going to, you know, school there. And that was very fun, like planning a whole trip by myself and, you know, visiting people and staying with them and then, you know, going solo. And then obviously this last February, I was in Sweden for a month and that was really cool too. But I don't know. I feel like I'm trying to find meaning out of it beyond just, like I said, leisure, I suppose. And I know I could probably, like, if I really wanted to, like, have an active service, I could probably do something like join the Peace Corps or something cool. I volunteer, you know, my time like that. But I don't know. I have this, like, prevailing sense that I'm running out of time, even though I'm still so young. And I think it was instilled in me from flight training where everything there is, like, seniority based. So it's like, if you don't start now, you know, you're... You know, you have to stay with the same airline for 30 years. And like, I'm not sure, I really don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So I think I'll try to forge a unique path that, while won't be as lucrative, which is the big appeal for a lot of people for flying, I think for me, it'll be a lot more personally fulfilling.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I also commend you for understanding, like, actually, let's talk about this. So this started when you were 10, I think, but if I were to ask you now, what is your why? How would you answer that?
I think it's like, not to get too metaphorical, but to me, traveling's a lot like flying where it's a whole new perspective. It's, you know, everywhere you go, I'm kind of a bit of a like I love just learning. I love learning new things and I'm kind of a, like a trivia minded person of just like, oh, here's a fun fact. And so I kind of feel like I scratch that itch in my mind where, you know, you go somewhere new and you learn, you know, all this new stuff through like personal anecdotes from the people that live there. Like there's a, like you can honestly, you can completely capture the idea of a place through a guidebook or even a really good history book. Like I'll give that credit, but there's something so intoxicating about like meeting people abroad and like seeing their perspective. And like recently I've had most of my travel experiences recently have been in like Northeastern Europe and that kind of area. And I mean, not to be very crass about it, but I kind of find that that whole region of Europe has like cultural Asperger's. Like everyone is so weird and so literal and like, I find that so fascinating because it's, you can like see it, you know, you go to like Sweden and you're like, man, I like everyone here is so strange. Like it's just, and like, you know, like all the way down through like Germany and Austria, it's kind of feels the same. And like this is a strange anecdote, I'm sure, but like you see that and you learn that and then you can like,
yeah,
not make inferences, but then you like learn new things or you read an article and you're like, oh, well, that makes sense. I mean, Germans are like this. And like, I hate to be someone who broadly generalizes things because like the whole point of getting a new perspective is to like eliminate that mindset. But
this is like culturally who we are, how we're raised, like what our society imparts to us. Like we're kind of a product of, you know, where we were brought up. And so it does make sense.
Yeah.
Did you watch Ted Lasso?
Yes. Oh, of course.
Like you're describing Jan Maas right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, just like a he Dutch just, like, guy.
Speaks, he's yeah, Dutch. And he just like speaks the logic of every situation. People are like, shut up. We don't want to know that right now.
You know? No, a coworker of mine had his like, he studied abroad and he has this friend who's from the Netherlands. And he came and visited us and like, he was like, oh, you got to meet him. You look just like him. And like, we're, you know, both tall and have curly hair, but we really don't look alike. Like he's the Dutch version of me maybe, but, and this is the most literal, like it was crazy. Cause he was like kind of constantly sarcastic too, but also very literal, like very dry, you know? And I was like, this is exactly what I expected you to be like.
That's great. But I love that, like, you getting to know people means that you have an understanding of the place. And I want to go back to kind of how you said right now you're feeling like when you go to places, it's like, it's almost like it's too surface level for you. Like you want it to be a deeper experience. You want to get to know the place and the people and the history and have it be more of an in-depth experience for you instead of just like skimming the surface, right?
Absolutely. And I think, I mean, a lot of that is like, perhaps I should try and live somewhere abroad too. Which is, you know, always been a great desire of mine. And tying back to what we've, you know, brought up originally is that was a big driving factor for this idea of going to Namibia for me. It's like, I've never spent an entire year in one place, like abroad. It was always like the most I ever spent anywhere was like 2 months. And that was really cool.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, it was New Zealand, which is an incredible place, but like culturally it's, you know, an English colony. It's very similar to you know, it's an English speaking country. The culture is very similar. Obviously they have a very rich indigenous culture too. That's really cool that I, as an 11-year-old, I had not picked up on whatsoever, but
fair. That's fair. Yeah. I'm wearing my panama right now, actually, from New
Zealand. Oh yeah.
This is one of my favorite gifts I've ever been given. You're right though. Ostensibly New Zealand is a white culture. But no, under the surface, they have so much, they are bursting with history and culture and, that whole, Polynesian aspect is so fascinating once you can kind of break underneath that surface there. But, okay. So my next question for you, you just said something out loud. I don't remember exactly verbatim, but you said something about wanting to live somewhere abroad. Okay. Knowing that, I know you have a dog. I know you have a great community. But your knee is better, right?
Yes. Yes.
You're better.
Walk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I can walk. That's good. Oh my gosh. So what is stopping you from just going?
The only thing, well, the Africa circumstance is, for me, I'm a little bit separated from like feeling accomplished flying, or not accomplished, feeling comfortable flying. Like I haven't flown consistently in a while, and I really would like to get to a point, because this is kind of like the Wild West of flying out there. You know, there's no real weather, consistent weather reporting. Yeah, Namibia is particularly, you're kind of, you know, you're flying by the seat of your pants, you're making all the decisions. And like, that's intoxicating to me because, you know, a lot of people, you know, when you talk about flying, they assume that it's like this kind of freedom in a sense, because, you know, it's true. You're flying in three-dimensional space and like you're in the sky and it's really intoxicating. But, and, you know, it's also like a legal nightmare. Like there are rules and regulations for every single thing you do. And once you really get into it, it's like can kind of be dream crushing for people to like realize that they have to like do all these things by the book all the time. And so, you know, Africa's kind of this cool, and like, I think a similar experience would be Alaska. You know, 73% of all the towns in Alaska are only reachable by plane. And like most, you know, most people in Alaska have to fly, and it's all bush flying. And it's like, you know, you're kind of just flying by the seat of your pants. Like half of these planes don't even have electrical systems. You're just flying with like a compass and a watch. And that's cool to me because that feels like the ultimate sense of like responsibility, I suppose. But the thing that's currently stopping me from doing that is I'm just not confident in my abilities right now. And I would like to get more experience in an environment that is safe before jumping into that.
Can you not do that here?
I am. I'm trying to, is the problem. Okay. So what I'm currently trying to do is flight instruct in the Valley, which there's, you know, a great flight school through MSU in Bozeman. And there's another one like nearby in Three Forks that, but I've just been dragging my feet on getting that done.
You're hearing what you're saying, right?
Yeah, no, it's the real nature of the problem is that like I've built this very comfortable, lazy lifestyle and now I'm trying to escape it and it's hard.
I totally understand. You're not alone. And I'm not trying to like guilt trip or anything. Oh, I'm just trying to help you see that. I think you already know what you need to do, first of all. But what I want to encourage you to do is something that is within your control, because there's a lot that we dream about doing, you know, and or going and living somewhere, or like, what if? And there's so many opportunities, especially at 24. You know, you feel like you're running out of time. Oh my goodness, you're not. You know, like, you're in a prime time right now to have even more opportunities than, for example, than I do at 41, because you can still do like a working holiday visa somewhere like New Zealand, you know, and you can go and you can get that visa and be there legally for a year and work and do whatever you can find for work and, you know, have that whole experience. That's still available. That's only available to you because you're 24, you know, because you're young.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't put a cap on that just yet. And then what I would encourage you to do is consider, like, what can you do right now? What can you do right now that'll make you feel like you're taking a step towards where you want to be?
Yeah. And I think that's the main reason I'm here in the first place, is like, what can I do right now? Cause like, to me, this whole Namibia idea has some stepping stones, which are like pretty clear to me, and I can see getting there. But like, I also have like, it's not just that, like, I don't want to do that and come back and be like, all right, I did it. You know, like, I can stop now. I can settle down, hang out with my dog. And
that's
you
not
know.
What's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's and not like, what's going to happen though.
Yeah. But like, I don't know. I just feel like in the meantime too, I'm like, I could just do more. Like, I wish I had a clear picture of like what else is out there, in a sense. Like, and I know this isn't really hard to find out, especially today. It's just like, I don't know. I've had friends who are just so outgoing and like willing to just ask anyone like anything really. And then they just have like the craziest experiences. Like, I have one specific friend who honestly like just lived all over the place, just cooking, you know, like just getting jobs cooking, and, you know, lived in Italy for months and the Faroe Islands and all these different places. And like, I don't know, to me, that sounds way more noble than just like traveling because you wanted to go somewhere, you know. Like, I don't know, something about like that relationship where you make like working or, you know, doing it, like an actual specific thing abroad, like a goal or some kind of something to achieve is like much more inviting of a notion than, I don't know, just seeing what's out there, I suppose.
Okay, what we know is that you're super passionate about flying.
Yes.
Is that the thing that you want to pursue? Or is there something else that could also get you overseas? Like, what else would really light you up?
When I think about it, apart from like the ultimate goal of being like this pilot that gets to travel, is like, I don't know. I've been spending the last 5 years of my life really getting into the service industry in terms of cooking. You know, I've worked as a chef at several different restaurants. And for me, like, learning, I think, not to be like Anthony Bourdain in a sense, but like the immersion of culture you get when you learn someone else's food, and going back into that experience I had of the hospitality being shown, is like, making a meal for someone is kind of the ultimate like symbol of hospitality, as far as I'm concerned. I think sharing food is like, I mean, you know, breaking bread is literally like a biblical saying, you know. I think it's a very important human aspect of like just human culture, and just to be able to share this experience over food and like share your culture that way. And for me, ironically, I think this is kind of like the microcosm of being an American, is when I share my culture to like people abroad, it's always like Mexican food or like something, you know. And like, that's kind of the whole American experience of like being a melting pot. It's like
something we got from somewhere else.
Yeah. Like, and I don't really have a very strong ethnic heritage. I'm kind of just like, maybe Swedish is my closest heritage, but my cousins are like five generations removed over there. So it really doesn't feel like I have, like, I don't, my family never had like any practices or anything. So to me, it's like, you know, I don't, I'm not like, hey, here's a smash burger, you know, like this is what we do in America. And everyone's like, yeah, we've had that before. Yeah. Like, so I could see that being something I could do.
That's amazing.
But also I'm having like kind of doubts about that. Cause like, I don't particularly want to spend a lot of my time working in kitchens. Like I love it and it's addicting, but it also, it kind of feels like a vice in a sense. It's kind of like, I don't know, like smoking a cigarette or something like that, where you're like, you like it, but you don't really want to do it, you know? Like,
okay. But what if you used it as a tool to get yourself into it? So it sounds to me like you're just kind of in this rut where you're like, oh, looking at the sky with all of these opportunities. Sometimes you don't even know what half of them are. And you're just looking for something to kind of get you out, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't want to put words in your mouth. I want this to be something that you feel like you want to do, right?
Oh, absolutely. And it's like, I have a plan in my head. I'm a big planner in general. Like I just kind of think about things a lot, but mm-hmm. I'm just taking shots in the dark at like what I think sounds exciting to me and what I want to do. And so like, obviously your perspective and your wealth of knowledge and experience is like such a valuable thing to know you for, because you've been there and you've done it and you've made, you know, a life out of it. And that's ultimately what I'd, you know, what I'm looking for, I suppose. And so that's like, you know, obviously why we're here is like, I have these ideas and like things that matter to me, but I'm also mm-hmm. open to like having, you know, my world completely like opened up to me, just like of things I haven't thought of before. So no pressure, but.
Okay. I'm going to tell you a story. I am a student of language. That was how I got started, was studying abroad in Costa Rica for a year. And what happened after that year, which was completely like turned my world, just opened it up. I had no idea how sheltered I was before that, but I kind of became, I don't know, my own person. And that was the first time I moved to Montana. And in Montana, of all places, I started learning Italian, which was not necessarily on my bingo card. I thought I was going to major in Spanish and then minor in French because I don't know, I just wanted languages. But this Italian opportunity presented itself to me and I said, I could learn Italian. And before I knew it, I was in Italy studying for another year. And this just kind of was because I was paying attention to things that sounded like me, that looked like me, you know, instead of listening to, I guess, what society says for us. Society says that we're made for whatever, taking the normal route down the paved road where you can see the white picket fence and the 2.5 children and all of that. You know, like there's a road that we're all familiar with that anybody could just find themselves on. I think it's harder to take the detour because the detour is the path unknown, right? But how do you find the detour? I think the detour is marked by these signs, like somebody walking into the restaurant I was working in 2004 in Bozeman, Montana, with a flyer that said Italian classes. And I'm like, ooh, like my heart just wakes up and says, ooh, me, that's me. Can we do that? You know, it's like, okay, let's go do that. And the next thing I know, I'm in Italy. And the next thing I know, I'm looking at another study abroad experience because I wasn't done. I mean, I had Spanish, I had Italian. I finally graduated from university and I had Portuguese on my mind because why not, right? I was 24, I think I was your age. No, 22, 23? I was 23. And I had no idea how to do this though. I didn't know. It's like, okay, if I want to learn Portuguese, I want to do Brazilian Portuguese, not Portugal Portuguese, which was just a personal preference. But hey, that's clarity, right? It's one thing that you can narrow down. Brazil's a big country though. And so what did I do? I got out Google and I started typing into Google Portuguese language schools in Brazil. And it was like, There's so many. But immediately I saw like, oh, Rio, Sao Paulo, you know, like I'm not a big city girl. I want a small town. And like but because I took that step, it's like, okay, then I can narrow it down. Like you keep taking the step until ultimately I found this tiny little beach town called Florianopolis in the south of Brazil, which is an island joined to the mainland by a bridge. So it's like right there, but it's surrounded by like 42 beaches. And it actually does have a city in it, but it wasn't like a big place. It was a very small place. And that's where I ended up going to study Portuguese. And the point of this story is that we don't know, right? I didn't know the answer to what should I do about this passion or this idea that I have to maybe study Portuguese. Well, it turns out you don't have to go for a whole semester or a whole year. They have language schools by the week. And so I could show up and go for as many weeks as I wanted to. And I did four. I did 1 month and I completed all of the language studies because it was like lightning speed because I'd already had Spanish and Italian, whatever. So I actually went through the school really, really fast and I became fluent in Portuguese in like 2 minutes. It was wild. And that was a long time ago. So while I was conversational then, it like takes me a minute, but I can still get it, you know? But I mean, how did I find that? There wasn't anybody for me to ask, right? I didn't know, but I had Google. Like the internet is so powerful, right? And so what I'm suggesting or encouraging you to do might be to just start with what you know. And if you don't even realize what it is, and then Rio pops up and you're like, well, I don't want to go to Rio. That's clarity. Like, okay, what's the next step? You know, I mean, maybe you can look at, what if you actually did like cooking classes somewhere and became certified in something. You said you love to learn. Like there's a point there where Walker gets to have his like brain fix because he's learning, but he's also doing something he's actually interested in. And therefore it becomes more than just travel. Am I right about that?
Oh,
like
yeah.
There's something in there that you can achieve. Yeah. And so I wonder if maybe it's in the form of a course that you take, or you have this flying thing, you know that you do. Have you looked at flying jobs in other places? Have you considered, I mean, you probably have, but like, what would it look like for you to actually go to Alaska and shadow someone or, you know, take the next step? Like what is that? Can you do that? Is that within what you can do right now? I think part of the problem that you might have is, yeah, you're going to have to find a home for your dog for when you're gone. You're going to have to say goodbye to your friends, but you had already been, I just want to encourage you because I witnessed you in this position before. I know that you were about to leave to go to Namibia. You were really excited. You had ideas of what it would look like and where you would live. And I mean, we know that like these things were kind of fell through, but you were already in a place where you were ready to say goodbye. You were willing to do that before. And so I know that you can do it again if it means enough to you. And so I think that ultimately the thing that's standing in your way is probably yourself.
Yeah, I mean,
because for most of us it is.
It's the story of my life, honestly. It's like I've never regretted anything I've ever done in life. I've only ever regretted things I didn't do or had the opportunity to do and didn't.
Oh.
And like that like hurts. I mean, it's weird. It's really like something easy to like not take personally because you can't know for certain what would have been, you know? So it's like no use in trying to fantasize about like, oh, what would have happened? But it's like,
yeah,
a consistent thing that I want to work on is saying yes to more things. Like, I think when I look back on my life, a lot of the cool things that I did were facilitated for me. And I don't necessarily believe that I would have gone out and seeked that at the time. Obviously not as an 11-year-old, but like, especially sure. In the past 5 years, yeah. There's so many things that I'm like, I just particularly am trying to be more open to like just really any experience, honestly. And I don't know, it's been really amazing. Like I really like, it's just like the only hard part is just like getting up and doing it at the end of the day. And like, it's not even that hard, really. Like, it's always, you know, it's like, you know, you go on this crazy backpacking trip and you're like, yeah, it sucked. But like, your brain never remembers the bad parts. You're always just like, oh yeah, that was great. You know, like, it was so easy climbing that mountain.
Right.
I definitely didn't cry the whole time, you know? And so, and like, I think obviously for me, I just needed like more life experience of like knowing that to get comfortable enough to put myself out there. And I'm still trying to do that. I'm still trying to just say yes to more things, really. Because I know for a fact, I can very easily just be comfortable with where I'm at and like make a very comfortable, very boring life and like settle with that. And I'm trying my hardest, especially right now, not to settle. And, yeah, I mean, I think that gets into one of my questions for you is I've never really wanted a family, say. I think a dog is enough, but I've always wanted like a relationship. And like, I've always wanted someone who's like, you know, I could travel with, or my best friend. Right. And I'm just wondering what that's been like for you. I don't know. I hate doing things alone. I have such a hard time doing like anything by myself.
We'll come right back to that. But first, let's thank the brands that support our show. Osprey is the maker of all the luggage and backpacks I've been using for more than a decade now. I've tried a lot of Osprey hiking packs over the years, and I have different favorites for different activities. Today, I'm going to share what my favorite day hiking pack is and why, specifically the two features that make it my top choice for day hikes. It's called the Cirrus, which also comes in a Stratus version, the only difference being fit design for different body types. For me, it's the Cirrus, and I have two preferred sizes when it comes to capacity, the 24 and the 34, because both of these have the features that I love. The 34 just offers a bit more space for those days that require extra Snickers bars. You know the ones. First, the feature I love the most about these packs is the wide dual zipper access to the main compartment. That means you open it with a nice big zipper instead of a top-loading drawstring. My second favorite feature is the Airspeed suspension, which is Osprey's fancy term for a light frame that provides structure and holds the pack away from your back, where there's a nice cooling mesh back panel and a sturdy hip belt to hold it all in place. All of these things equal comfort in capital letters. When do I use it? On any day hike that requires a pack, and even on multi-day hut-to-hut hikes where I don't have to carry all of my overnight gear. So for example, when I hiked through the Dolomites in Italy and also to Machu Picchu in Peru, our main bags were transferred for us every day. So all we had to carry was what we needed during the day. Check out osprey.com to nerd out on all the cool features of the Cirrus and Stratus, and don't forget your packing cubes. Adventure doesn't start when the plane takes off or even when you hit the trailhead. It starts at the TGA show. The 2026 Travel, Gear, and Adventure Show in Salt Lake City, Utah is a true community gathering where anyone passionate about travel can feel inspired, connected, and empowered. The TGA show brings together travelers, adventurers, creators, brands, tourism boards, gear companies, and storytellers for exclusive access to new travel gear and innovations, masterclasses with world-class experts, destination and tourism board experiences, and hands-on workshops designed for both travel content creators and everyday adventurers. Not to mention the networking opportunities with filmmakers, podcasters, writers, and travel entrepreneurs, including myself. I will be speaking at this year's TGA show in Salt Lake City, Utah, and you can join me. Mark your calendar for June 23rd to 25th, 2026, and check out travelgoods.org to learn more and register. I'll see you there. And thank you, wherever you are, for listening to the show and supporting these brands that help make it possible.
Oh, my gosh, Walker. I have so many things going through my head right now. This is a really good question. And I think it's probably a really good question for me.
Sorry. I don't mean to.
It's okay.
Yeah. Give me your dirty laundry. Yeah. No.
I know, right? I'm going to start with this. We're going to get to the relationship thing. I promise you. I'm going to get there. But you just said some really, really big things that I want to kind of repeat back to you out loud and bring to the table, because we're getting to see kind of who you are through this. And I see you because I am so similar. I want to use the words comfort zone averse. Like, you understand that you're in your comfort zone right now. You have had experiences in the past where you have been able to step outside of that. And so you know that you can do it. But in the past, a lot of those have been facilitated for you, which is really important to recognize, because I think what you probably need to work on yourself are your own courage muscles. And one of the things that almost every, so in over 200 episodes on this podcast, there's a question I like to ask to people, and it's, what advice would you give to, you know, people who are looking to do the same thing or whatever it is? I mean, all these conversations are different, right? The most common answer is just do it. And whatever that looks like, buy the plane ticket, do the first thing, right? So knowing that, it's because you're on the other side of it. It's easy to say that when you're on the other side and you can look back and say, oh, it's because I took that first step. I did it. Like, it's so worth it. You've got to do this, right? But when we're on the inside of our comfort zone, when we're looking out, it's easy to look at things like a freaking marathon, right? Instead of seeing the first step, the start line, you see 26.2 miles and you're like, how am I ever going to do that? You know, and there's a saying like how it's something like, how do you run a marathon 1 mile at a time, right? When I ran my marathon, I was at like half mile at a time. Like, literally, because it was a struggle for me. But you can break it down. I mean, this is, I think, where we as humans just get super overwhelmed with these really big ideas, is because they feel so big and so other and so outside of our comfort zone that it's like, how do you even start? Like, how do you even get there? But if you, like, kind of what I was mentioning with the Google thing, like, just if you start breaking it down and looking into what that actually entails, you're gonna get all the way back to an action moment that you can do right now. And you can realize that, like, maybe that first step is not 26.2 miles. The first step is lacing up your running shoes. You know, it's like, oh, well, I've got those right downstairs. I can do that. And then what? And then you go outside and you start with whatever your warm-up run is. You know, it's like, okay, you're not going to get to the 26.2 if you don't start with the lacing up your shoes to begin with. If you don't have shoes, maybe you need to go buy shoes. You know, like, that's where you can just keep breaking down these ideas that feel so big. I mean, one of the things I wanted to definitely put, I think it might already be on your radar, and I already said it once this episode, but like, the idea of going and getting a working holiday visa in New Zealand is such a cool, speaking of regrets, like, I wonder if that's the thing that I might regret in my life. I've thought about this too, is like, now that I've been to New Zealand and it's like the coolest place ever, I'm like, oh man, if only I had tried it when I was young enough to get the working holiday visa, you know, if only I had explored that opportunity. But I wasn't in that place then, and that's okay. I mean, we all have our journeys, right? And there's a reason that I didn't go, but you still can. So you can go do that. No, but so I would just encourage you first to recognize that that's the kind of person that you are. And I think this because of everything that you've just said, and because my inspired self is like seeing you like, oh yeah, like, okay, I get that. Like, you don't want to just settle for the things that light other people up. I get it. Like, we need those people to stay home so they can watch our dogs and water our plants and things while we're going off and doing the things that light us up. But I mean, who are we if we don't show up for the things that light us up? You know, who are we if we don't show up for our gifts, for our talents, for our passions? There's a reason that we have those things, you know? And if that is combined with travel for you, then there's so many opportunities out there that I would say get on Google and just start Googling. Like, what country do you start big? What country do you want to go to? What do opportunities look like in that country? You know, and just like, keep breaking it down until you find something that says, oh, I didn't know about that. And maybe you're on this little detour now because that looks like Walker. That sounds like Walker. Like, okay, cool. And maybe it'll lead somewhere. Maybe it won't. But I think you're going to learn something about yourself every step of the way. Are you with me so far?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I've got to be metaphorical again, but I feel like I've spent,
go ahead.
I don't know, I feel like I spent my life like not showing up for myself, you know?
Ooh.
I don't want to be like, woe is me. I'm such a good friend. Like I show up for others, but I don't show up for myself. But I feel like it's more of like not applying myself. Like I have an idea of what I'm capable of. And I'm just kind of like, I just kind of accept getting 3/4 of the way there and being good enough.
I want you to write a, like get out a blank page of paper and just write down all the things that like light you up. That like, I would love to see a piece of paper like that for you. Not even literally, I mean for you, like you don't have to show me. I just mean like, what if you did that and like saw all of these things that maybe that's where you start. And then maybe one of those things speaks louder. Maybe you go through and star or circle some of those things and say, what could, out of all of these things, could I apply any of these to a to an overseas journey? And what would that look like? And how would I feel? Write it out. Make a pros and cons list. I love pros and cons lists. You know, there's another saying that's coming to my mind that I also really love. I hope I don't butcher this. The day came where the risk to remain tight in a bud was greater than the risk that it took to blossom. And I love that quote because it's easy to stay in the comfort zone, right? It's easy to stay inside where we know, where we're comfortable, where we have our friends and our hockey and our community. It's scarier to detour. It is, because this is where everybody else is too, you know? However, if that's where you live and if that's where you come alive, then you owe it to yourself to go do that. And you also owe it to all of us because your gifts are going to come alive when you go pursue yourself. And that's what we need in this world. We need people who are allowing themselves to get out of their own way so that they can flourish, so that they can bring their gifts to life. Because this is why we have them all. They're unique. You know, like there's no way I want to fly people around Namibia, but guess what? We have Walker. Walker's going to go do that for us. You know, like that's rad. And meanwhile, like maybe you don't want to run a podcast and here we are on mine. There's a reason I'm here doing this. And it's, trust me, it's scary. Every time I get on this mic, I get nervous, you know, and I've been doing this for like 14 years. Like there are, it's like all of these little steps outside the comfort zone is just strengthening your courage muscles. And so you can start so small, but I do believe that from what I'm hearing and how, what I know about you, that you're only going to be satisfied if you're pushing yourself. And I think that it's a great time. When you're 24, it's a great time for you to recognize that you have this potential and you can do this, because this, I think, is a really common age for the people to decide to stay inside, you know, and not go out of the comfort zone and like do the thing and pursue. And that's where the regrets come in. That was not my segue. The regret is not my segue for this, for the record. However, I want to take it to the question. I'll pause and let you speak. I'm sorry. Oh, did you have a question or anything?
No, right, I mean, now? I appreciate pressure. Like, I don't, you know, like I don't feel love, right? Like you're guilt tripping me, but I appreciate not, I don't know, enforcing my delusions, maybe. Like, yeah, you're fine. You're doing great. You just hang out, have fun. It's okay.
The thing is, you know, people can say that to you, but Walker knows, right? You know what it is that you need. You know what it is that you need. And I think that you just need to give yourself permission to be your own North Star, you know, because only you can go accomplish those dreams that only you have.
Damn, I should be writing this down. I should be writing down half the things to say.
Don't worry, we're recording it. Okay. With all of that said, I would like to answer your question now about the relationship thing. And I mean, answer, I don't know, but explore. We'll explore that question. Okay. Here's what I know about me. I'll speak for myself. And what I have learned is, yeah, it's not easy being a person who wants to accomplish a lot. I'm very driven. I'm really ambitious. I started traveling really young. And so it's intrinsically woven into my very bones. Like it's in my soul. I can't really exist without going and having those travel experiences. It's like, I always say that it's like muscles. you need to exercise those muscles. Otherwise they're going to atrophy. Right. And so for me, all these places that I go, all of these lives that I've sort of absorbed into my one experience, they're all like little muscles. And the way that I see it is I've got to keep exercising those so that I feel strong, so that I feel good, because it's all part of me. It's all part of my body. And that's why I felt incredibly atrophied during COVID. COVID was horrible for me because I wasn't able to do that. I mean, I was getting part of me, which is Montana, hockey, community, sure. But there's so much of me that was missing during that time. And so it's up to me, only me, to figure out what that balance looks like. And when I, if anybody who's been listening to this show for a long time or following me for a long time knows that I was once married and divorced. I got divorced when I was 30. And when that happened, I went and lived abroad. I went nomadic. Like I left everything. I put my stuff in storage. I stored my truck. We had a dog together. I left my dog. I left my partner. Like I left everything to go, what, be by myself in the world? It was kind of a wild choice to leave at that time and go be alone. And you mentioned this earlier. You said, I'm afraid of going alone, or maybe you didn't say afraid, but like you've never done it alone. Like that kind of gives you pause, right? That makes you hesitate, the idea of doing things by yourself. I was totally that person once. And I love that I'm saying this with a smile right now, because I know, because I was there for all of my history, that I was totally that person once. I was terrified of like doing it by myself. When I went and studied abroad, I had like my hand was held because I was in a program, you know, and there were other students there. Like I wasn't really alone. Yes, that was where I kind of learned to be by myself overseas, but like I wasn't actually doing any of it alone. Brazil was my first real solo. That's not true. I backpacked from Panama City to Mexico City. And for a lot of that, I was alone. But you know what I learned immediately was that, okay, first of all, we're not really alone because there's people out there. There's people everywhere. In fact, you can't get away from them. Like I'm actually an introvert. And so like sometimes I just want to be alone. And even when I'm traveling alone, it's like, oh, look, there's a solo traveler. Let's talk to her. You know, it's like, yeah. Okay, you're meeting friends everywhere. So you're never really alone, first of all. But second of all, I proved to myself the very, very, very hard way that I can, in fact, do it by myself. And I almost fell in love too much with it, because now I'm like, it's so easy for me. It's almost too easy for me. I mean, I'm still here and I'm still by myself, you know, I still do a lot of things alone. I'm just, okay, you're not the only one getting vulnerable. This is, I'm being vulnerable here on this show. Yeah. I'm still single. Like, so 10, 11 years later, like I'm still doing the thing on my own. Let me encourage you though, because I would rather be by myself doing what I know I'm here to do than be with somebody who makes me feel like less of myself. I haven't found a person yet who is like worthy of being in this life with me, right? And that is a scary thing. It's scary to say that out loud, knowing that like thousands of people are going to listen to this, honestly. But that's my truth. My truth is, I would rather be alone than with the wrong person. And I have felt what it feels like, in multiple, you know, dating relationships, whatever, to be with a person who makes me like, who holds me back. And that's not who I am. That's just not who I am. And so until I find the person who brings me up, who, you know, can add to this life of mine. Like I'm so open to that. The universe knows this, like I'm open to that. But at this moment, like while I haven't found that, I have over and over and over again, proved to myself that I know I'm on the right path. And that is worth everything that I am here on this earth for. And so I just want to encourage you that I really do believe that if you're pursuing who you're meant to be and you're getting the, you're understanding, you can see from what you're doing that you are in the right place and you know that you're fulfilling your purpose. There's like that there's so much reward in that. And you can still have wants and you can still have desires and you can still hope for that relationship and you can still hope to, you know, have
the life where you actually get to have your dog at home and like you find the balance, like you can still hope for all of these things and figure out a way to make that all happen. But in the end, like you've got to figure out what your priorities are and understand that you are the only person who's going to be able to go out and do these things that you want to do. And so are you willing to trade off and let those things go in order to stay comfortable in your community with your dog and hope that maybe somebody's going to walk through that door and like that's going to happen. And then maybe, you know, like everything is an opportunity. You don't know. Like we don't know. That could happen and it could be the best thing you ever decide. Or you could go out and become a bush pilot in Namibia and it could be the best thing that you've ever done for yourself. And that will snowball into the next decision, into the next experience, you know, and then you'll figure out the balance. Like you'll figure it out because you will understand at that point how to listen to yourself and you'll know what you need. And it's okay to change your mind and it's okay to change your place and it's okay to change your lifestyle, like your living situation, everything. Because as you go, this is your life and you're the one deciding this is what I need right now. And I'm going to do this until it doesn't feel right. And then you're going to be called to the next thing. You're going to feel it, you know?
I mean, wow. I mean, it's so refreshing hearing you say that you haven't like met the person that deserves to be with you, because I feel like there's such a pervasive aversion to like people having strong personal values right now. Like you just hear someone say something like that and it's like, oh wow, well that person's like very, you know, not egotistical, but I think it's like boundaries, you know, and also personal, like a wealth of personal self-esteem, you know. And like to me it's really refreshing hearing someone like you say that, because I don't know, I think it's like an important thing that people don't recognize as much right now. It's like, you know, having a lot of personal, and I think for me in particular, I've been very not that I need to be more selfish, but I think I've really, part of my comfort zone has been being like as available to everyone I know as possible all the time. And I think I need to accept that I need to do, like, I think a lot of the reason I'm staying too is because I have this very strong community that I don't want to leave behind in a sense, or like, you know, I've got, you know, my best friend in the whole world I've lived with for like the past 5 years. And I'm like, well, you know, if I go abroad, yeah, he's going to be alone. Like he's not going to live with me anymore. It's like, well, yeah, we're both adults and, you know, it's time for him, I guess, to move on with his life too. But yeah, no, I mean, that's just like, I think that's what I needed to hear in terms of accepting what is important to me and not just trying to appease everyone else. Not that I have people to appease, or I don't want to make it sound like I, you know, feel like I owe myself to something, but I think I'm just a people pleaser inherently too. So I have this like habit of like, you know, overextending myself when, and doing things that like, maybe I don't actually want to do it, but I feel like I am obligated to do it.
Allow me to remind you about the oxygen mask on the airplane. You got to put your own on first before you can help everybody else, right? Otherwise you're going to pass out.
Yeah. I mean, the hypoxia at 30,000 feet, well, you'll pass out in 5 seconds.
Yeah. And I think that people, because a lot of people are service first people. They're not, you know, we want to help other people. We want to do that. But if we don't put that oxygen mask on, then what energy are we using to serve those other people with, you know? And so I wanted to remind you of that. And then also I want to encourage you, because you just said a couple of words that have become a really big part of my story. You mentioned leaving behind your best friend and this community and this life that you have right now. And, I used to think of it that way as well. And this is why I want to encourage you, because it feels like you're leaving something behind, right? It feels like you're leaving a piece of you, life as you know it, like big things. It feels like you're leaving that behind. I've done this a lot of times. Every time I've studied abroad or gone on a big trip or got divorced, you know, like things there are big things that feel like you're leaving behind. But if you change your perspective and look forward instead of backwards, then you realize what you're actually taking with you and what you have to gain in the next place. And that's what you don't even know yet. That is, it's where all of those people who say, just do it, they're on the other side of that knowing. They're on the other side of what they've gained by doing the trade-off of leaving something behind and taking the step forward and going and doing the thing that is the unknown, that's the scary, and living through it and growing from it and learning from it and suddenly being on the other side seeing, like, I didn't leave anything behind. I was moving on to my next step, you know, and all of this is still with me. And also, I think as we grow and live in this human experience, we have to expect change. And so if you invite the change on your own terms, it's really powerful. If you invite that change, saying this is how I want my next chapter to look like, and you go out and you get that, then it's like this empowering change where you lifted yourself up from being in that place. You didn't leave anything behind. You're just ready for what's next, you know? And you can't assume anything about those relationships that you're leaving, anything. You can't assume anything. You just got to look forward and expect that, like, wonder is about to happen, because that's what happens.
Damn. All right. I should really be taking notes right now.
I'm going to make you listen to this later.
This is like, these are some seriously philosophical ideas. You're like, especially like, inviting your own change and how that, like, cause like I've said, I kind of feel like a sea anemone on the bottom of the ocean, just like going with the flow of like whatever change is coming to me, you know, like, oh, I'll go over here. I'll do this. Yeah. Well, you know, kind of just like accepting someone else's change for me. And yeah, I think this is obviously the bread and butter of what I'm here for, is like learning to accept my own change and what's valuable to me. And like, am I willing to do that? And
you are. Yeah. I know you are. I can see it in you. I can see it as you're like lighting up.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can see it. But it's okay to go at your own pace too. You know, like, it is your experience. This is your life. And you can take inspiration from wherever you want to take it. It's up to you, though, to turn it into something actionable.
Yeah. All right. Another question. So you've kind of touched on this, but what do you like when did you know, and also what personally to you, like, makes, like, what's important to you when you're abroad? Like, how do you get value out of what your travels are? Like, what do you consider value? And I'm not saying, like, obviously, like, oh, you know, like, I don't know. I don't mean like in a financial aspect, or like maybe more self-fulfillment, but also like, I don't know. It's kind of a tough notion for me to grasp right now, in the sense of like, I feel like it's obvious what, you know, some people would value, but I think for you in particular is more what I'm concerned with.
Yeah. You know, it's a good question, and it's changed a lot over the years. And there's more than one answer. Like, there are a lot of things that I seek. For example, when I was 18 and I first set out to live in Costa Rica for the year, what I wanted out of that experience was to learn Spanish fluently. Like, that was my goal. I had one goal and that was it. What I didn't realize, and what I also gained from that experience, was that I actually really loved being in a foreign culture. I loved feeling like a local. Like, I loved speaking the language and being mistaken for local native speaker. That was like, that opened up my world big time. I also learned how to dance salsa like a freaking street pro, you know, like, I was eating all the food. Like, there were so many amazing things that came out of that first experience for me that, kind of like, everything was so exciting that for a long time, I just wanted more of that. Like, what was it? I wanted language. Like, language is still a big thing that lights me up, that makes me feel like I'm getting to know a place, you know, like language is a big one. I love food. And so like, I also want to connect via like to the culture, via the food. The people is like an obvious number one to me, because it's the people are what I feel like make a place really part of my story. It's like, I've got friends in these places. Like they've got them on speed dial. I can talk to them on a daily basis, and they're all over the world, you know, and it makes the world feel like I feel more of like a global citizen, I guess. And so I also look for friendships and connection with people, which I think transcends like everything in this human experience. Like, it's the connection with other people that like make the experience for us, right? That does happen all over the world. You experienced that when you were 10, 11. And so it's so for a long time, it was like, oh yeah, what else can I get from travel? That's like, you know, the things that like check everybody's boxes. When I discovered adventure travel too, like I call it that. It's really just like, for me, it's being me, but in another country. So like, I love to get on the trails and to ride my bike and run and hike. And, I have yet to play hockey in another country, but that's going to come.
Yeah.
But yeah, like doing the simple things that just like really light me up, but doing them in another place, I find fascinating. And it's okay to do that, because that's what brings me inspiration. So like, I can go to Patagonia, for example, and have two completely different experiences. One where I'm like with locals all the time and having this amazing food and just connecting to the land and like, you know, super cultural experience. Or I can go on a hike or a run on a trail by myself and feel so filled up because I'm connecting to the mountains and the magnetism of the place. And, you know, so like, there are a lot of things I would say that really light me up now that I look for when I travel. What I will say is I have another thing that a term that I've kind of coined. I call it travel for travel's sake. And I used to be in a place when I was really young and everything was new, where I wanted to just travel for travel's sake, because I loved it. Like it was just so exciting. I've lived a lot of life since then. And now that it doesn't have that same appeal to me, there needs to be another level. And I think this is kind of what you were talking about too. Travel for travel's sake isn't enough for me anymore, because the novelty is kind of gone. Like, now I need the connection to the land. I need the connection to the people. I need the connection with the food, whatever it is that like really kind of lights me up. Like that's what I look for. But it takes kind of slow travel. Like, I love slow travel now, which is, you know, riding my bike through a place or hiking through a place, like multiple days. Because you can feel it on your skin and you can smell it and you can, I mean, like it opens the senses so much more, and it's a much more visceral experience. And, that's why I've dived so strongly into adventure travel in the last, I don't know, lots of years. Because I am an outdoorsy person. I love the mountains. And, you know, when you first start out traveling, it's like, oh yeah, you want to check off the big things like the Eiffel Tower and the Colosseum in Rome and like all these things that everybody wants to go see. But I'm in a place now where it's like, we can go, I call this another like term that I use, is like third tier places where it's not on the people's bucket list. It's not even like on their second round. But for example, last year I went with a couple friends who are also third tier travelers, because they've been to lots and lots of countries. Because we've all been to so many countries, we went to the Baltics, like the Balkans, the Baltics, like Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. And that was such a cool experience, because we were there just going to breweries and like talking to people and eating the food and exploring. And like, there were no other tourists there, you know? And those are the things now. It's like, oh man, this is pretty neat. I also, as I work in this industry, I do like to be able to share it. And so it does bring me a lot of joy, even though it's work. It is work. I work a lot when I travel. It's like, I don't know what vacation is. But I do gain a lot out of then,
you know, transforming my experience into something that I can share with other people. And so that's another thing that I feel like is valuable while I'm traveling, is how do we turn this into an experience that I can share? That was a long answer for your question, but did I answer it?
No, absolutely. I really appreciate you describing to how it changed for you. And
Of course it changes. We change.
I feel like that's a part of youth, is like seeing what other people have gone through and just wanting to skip the line and get there right away, you know, and not recognizing the personal struggle that requires that, you know. I'm like, I want to learn everyone else's lessons the easy way.
Oh, it doesn't work that way though. I don't actually believe in that phrase, whatever it is, like learn from other people, learn from other people's lessons. You know, that one, that's not real. We have to learn everything the hard way ourselves. Yeah, it's true. But you know what? That's where we grow. Like, that's the only way that we actually learn. The only way that you're going to get yourself out of this rut is by being here and being uncomfortable and recognizing that discomfort as an agent of change, like a red flag that says, Walker not happy here. Like, Walker needs to go do something. You know, like, what is it going to be?
Or Walker is too happy here. In the inverse.
Right, on the flip side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe I should do something.
You will.
Yeah, well.
And it's going to be your own story. Would you like to hand me a whip? I will crack it. If you need accountability, I will be that person for you, because I get it. But I think you have within you all you need. But you know, it's no shame in asking for help, especially accountability sometimes, because we're really good for that. Peers are really good for that.
Yeah. Oh my God, I need peers so bad. Like, I mean, I know I thrive in structure, at least academically, but boy, like, that's what I was getting at too, is like not being able to do something alone. Like, I need that like peer pressure of like someone else to do something with, or like to get my foot out the door, or even to just be like, hold me accountable. Cause it's like so easy for me to just, I don't know. I can just accept things very easily. Like, I just, yeah.
You know, so many people can though. And I will encourage you with this, just by getting on a plane and going through that portal and coming out somewhere else in the world, it doesn't mean that you've left all of your skills and common sense behind. Like, you're still you, you've still got it. You still know what to do. You're going to figure it all out. I mean, you're not with somebody 24/7. There's nobody with you right now. Like, you're perfectly fine by yourself. You know, and we're even having a virtual conversation. I mean, it's not the same when you don't have people right there in person to actually give you a hug and have a glass of wine or whatever it is that you need, but you can get through it and you can understand that everything's temporary and all of this is helping you grow and get to the next step.
Yeah. I mean, it's like obviously something you think about, but when someone else says it, it means so much more to like actually, yeah, that's just the power of saying things. I mean, that's kind of like half of the power of like talking to a psychiatrist, is just saying it and getting it out there. And I think this is my medium.
There's power.
You're my whip cracker and my therapist now. Sorry.
All right. Well, let's take it to the next step and make a declaration, because you're being recorded right now.
Uh-oh.
And I love the power of saying things out loud. I do it all the time. I'm sure my people who've listened to me for years have been like, oh yeah, you never actually did that. I don't know. Yeah. But I say things out loud all the time, because there's a lot of power in speaking our words, even just to ourselves, like even just in my journal, you know, like say the words, put that goal on your vision board, you know, and even if you don't tell anybody, it's there and you know it's there. But let's make one for you today. Let's end this episode with a Walker declaration. What are you going to do, Walker?
Well, I'm probably going to give myself too lofty of a goal here, but I don't know. I've always wanted to learn a foreign language, and I've tried multiple times. And, you know, the Denver public school system has tried and failed for many years of my life to teach me Spanish. I didn't want to learn it. They're like, you're going to learn it. I was like, well, no. But I think it's going to be twofold. I think I want to be fluent. You know, I loved learning German, but I think I want to learn something a little more conducive towards the environment I want to go to. So maybe something like Afrikaans or Swahili. Those languages are so cool to me. Probably Afrikaans because it has more usage. And then maybe I can learn Dutch after that because it's basically the same language.
Yep.
But sorry, native Afrikaans speakers. I don't mean to besmirch the good name of the world's youngest language, but I'm going to get fluent in a foreign language and I'm going to go to Namibia by the end of the year. Well, actually, no, by next summer, because that's when the season starts. I can't do it in December.
I just got chills.
Let's make this achievable.
Yeah, let's make it achievable. Let's make it achievable.
In a year, end of next summer, in a year. So a year plus change.
Okay.
I've also wanted to learn Arabic. See, it's pretty lofty. I would consider doing Arabic because then I could spend a couple months around like Turkey and West Asia. I think it's supposed to be called West Asia, not the Middle East anymore. Not to be.
I love that. Thank you for saying that out loud. No, it's important. As somebody who speaks 5.5 languages on a good day, you can do that. Who's stopping you? Like, who's actually stopping you from doing these things that you want to do? Who's actually stopping you? There's really nobody.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, there's a political answer to that question, but
right.
Yeah. Like,
right. But then you can even do this. Like, it's up to you. It is up to you how you use the tools that are around you. So I love that. Thank you for declaring that. Yes, we can all hold you to that. We do need to wrap up because this could just go on.
Absolutely. I haven't even gotten into any of my fun stories either. Jeez.
Oh, well, maybe we can do a part two. We will do a part two.
2 years like from
in
now.
In 2 years. Yes. Yeah. When you've after you've done the thing and you're in that place of knowing and you're like, oh, I just needed to do it. Oh man, I'm excited for part two. In the meantime, is it okay if we follow your journey? Are you on any socials anywhere?
Yeah, I mean, I have Instagram. It's not really like a public thing for me. It's more of just to keep track of people I've met. My only real way of like sharing my experience, is through photography. I like to do film photography. It's more of a new hobby of mine. It's nothing really that fantastic, but,
Hey, positive words. Come on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
This is you were talking about. Use positive words.
So I'll definitely come up with I'll put it on in my Instagram, obviously, but I'll come up with a way to share some of the photos I've taken, especially 2 years from now when I intend to like take my camera with me.
Okay, cool. Well, Walker, thank you for, you know, just agreeing to be here and saying yes to this fun idea. I'm so glad that we had this conversation out loud. It was really fun and I hope it was helpful to you and I hope it was helpful to you listening out there.
Yeah. I mean, I can't thank you enough for your time and your grace and share and your vulnerability right now. I mean, this has been such a resource and like, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to remember this. And also this is going to be a considerable, I don't want to say turning point, but like, you know, this is going to be a factor for me for in the future. Certainly.
I love it. And, it's going to be here for you to revisit if you want to.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you again. It was great to have you.
Thank you.